I like this. I tell you what, you working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial, did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I've been, my mistake. I, you
see,
know what?
See, you're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know that. God. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
Father, you're exactly
right. We may be all black and famous,
you
but
are
we all
guilty.
Don't look alike.
I am guilty.
I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
Entertainment reporter
right.
for this station.
Flog.
And you don't know the difference between
I know.
Me and Lawrence Fishburne?
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about
it. That must be a very short line for your job.
I'll say. No. It probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Really? Really?
I apologize.
I'm the other guy. I'm the other guy. The other one. What's in your wallet?
Right. Yeah. That's it.
That's
exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
I'm the what's in your wallet black guy.
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You only hear his voice, though, so there. You probably won't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne.
You're 100% right.
Did you hear old girl's description of his genitals?
I know that was the thing that kept popping up that made
popping up
all the testimony believable because they all were able to describe his specific genital deformity, like every girl who saw his genitals. So I think that was his downfall, having deformed genitals.
That's
but no, I didn't
fucked up. Huh?
I don't quite know what they were described as. I just know they were. Described as being deformed in some way, some distinct way, unique to Harvey.
Jessica Mann said that.
Not familiar.
Maybe
because she put up too much of a fight.
Yeah.
I would have heard of her if she would have just gone along with it.
Yeah, could have been somebody. She deformed it as being severely scarred. As if it had been burned or something.
Ooh, this is like the Batman villain origin. Where
she
sounds like right here. How do you get like a severely burnt dick without like everybody knowing that story?
Well, there's more. She also said there really wasn't testicles.
Oh my god!
And that it looked like he had a vagina.
Like his sack just got melted in the fire.
Who's to say, man?
Just all fused together into one amorphous blob of scar tissue.
They were like axing her about it, and she's like, when I first saw it, like my feelings when I saw it were that of compassion.
How fucking
because it was so monstrous.
Rich do you have to be to like be like, I can show my extremely deformed genitals to all of the most famous actresses in the world and get away with it?
Yeah.
Like, they'll be down with it. It's cool. I have the largest ego in the fucking world.
Or, like, did he just grow up that rich that people are like, everybody's dick looks like that, bro. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, that could be it. Living in a bubble.
Yeah.
Fucking Michael Jackson bubble.
Because what, he grew up, he came into that money or what?
I don't know. Weinstein,
got
man.
To be a producer.
Weinstein, figure it out. These people all got money.
That's not true. I went to school with a couple of them.
Oh, my mistake.
That was not the case. Actually, they all did better than my family.
Mostly all I know about the Jews is their cuisine. That matzo ball soup, salty and delicious.
I've been to a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah.
Okay.
Teddy Bizkliz, myself, and Davey R. Scheister, we all got brand new suits.
Oh, to go to?
To go to the bat mitzvah.
These events?
Because it was a big deal.
Yeah, because there was a lot of single women there.
Ted had
how old are you guys when this happened? Like in your 30s?
Yeah, it's just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
Ted was what did he have? He had like a olive green suit.
All these girls are officially women now. It means they're ripe for the picking.
I had a real nice 90s teal suit.
Dave went with that brown square suit and yellow undershirt that Batman the Animated Series Bruce Wayne always wore. the situation.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to say yes.
The 90s weren't good for fashion.
He had a plum-colored suit.
A plum-colored suit? What is he, Mo Money era Damon Wayans?
Yeah, like we had turtlenecks on underneath the suits, no ties.
Did you just go to that like one...
I want to say Ted and I had chains.
That one urban dress clothes store they always had in South Lake Mall.
We grew up in Illinois, bro. We went to Lincoln Mall.
You guys had urban dress clothes stores every corner you rounded?
Well, they just tore down Lincoln Mall, so what do you think?
There's still malls standing?
Yeah, there's a couple few.
I thought they were all just, like, abandoned and kids were throwing raves in them these days.
I wish I'd go to that.
I do go to that.
What?
Abandoned mall raves? I go to them all the time.
Why don't you fucking tell me, ever?
Well, because you're fucking an old man. They think you were a narc, dude. I want to get kicked out of here.
Man.
Give me a fucking break.
It's bullshit. I do enjoy
Narc. You don't even own any of your JNCOs anymore. I still got a closet full of them.
I could probably get Teddy Bizkliz's new metal pants.
Oh, he had some new metal pants.
Teddy, you're listening to the show these days. Reach out to your brother.
Probably had a bunch of straps on him or something.
Bingo.
Did he ever have a JNCO phase, though? The big, gigantic parachute jeans?
No, I don't think Ted had JNCOs. He had bullheads, which were pretty big.
DJ friends that were wearing that around, like, junior year of high school, I think. And I was like, guys, you're going to be looking back on this, not like 20 years from now, like 6 months from now, and being like... Good Lord, I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Why don't you cut it off with the JNCOs right now?
Biggest I had were like Lee's pipes.
Lee was a solid jean.
Which were baggy.
Good stitching on those Lee's. Yeah.
Ted had bullhead jeans, which were like, they advertised like 22-inch pant bottom.
That's every boy's dream.
He worked at PacSun, so he had the hookup
for us. For sure. His fucking employee discounts.
You could get I loved it, man.
All the comically oversized clothing items that were popular in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Real clothes eventually. I don't know if he was working there for the bullhead days. That might have been like his freshman year of high school that he had.
I always
those.
Thought he had a real SoCal surfer dude demeanor about him, and now it's all just coming together.
Yeah, he bounced around.
PacSun experience.
He bounced around. He worked at the Zoomies as well, which is your surfer, skater, whatever shop.
You ever, like, do some time at, like, an Aunt Annie's or something? Ever get, like, a pretzel hookup?
No. No, just that been clothing nice. Sales.
I would have been eating one of those dessert pretzels, like, every day, just packing on the pounds.
I tell you what, when he was working at PacSun, we used to go in there, little Davey and I, and use his in-store discount for shoes.
That's right.
I took Dave to get a nice pair of Etnies one day.
Ooh. I think I had a pair of Etnies once.
And I stabbed Dave in the thigh with a pushpin.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, like...
found it in, like, a random clothing item?
Well, no,
like,
they did put him on the bottom...
my little brother with this?
They put him on the bottom of the shoes to get him to, like, hang on those, like, fucking racks.
Very foolish. That's just inviting shenanigans, PacSun.
It was like, oh, Dave needs the one that's the floor model. He's going to have to try that size on. And I was like, well, I'll hold on to this pushpin.
Duck boat feet don't fit into anything out back. We got to... get these ridiculous... These aren't even for people to wear, usually.
Old Teddy Bizkliz walked to the back of the store to get the shoes, and I took one look at Dave and decided I was going to stab him in the leg with the pushpin, and I did.
Doesn't like pain. I bet he wasn't very happy about that.
He was very shocked.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
It was just a whole lifetime of bullying he put up with at that point.
Right,
like, what do you think's going on here, man? What do you think this relationship
Thank
is?
Thank you. Thank you.
Open your fucking eyes.
Yeah, you need to text him afterwards and let him know this is more so his fault.
He's going to be like, hey, remember that time you got stabbed with a pushpin?
Right. That's on him. That's baby oil and blow.
Technically a raping. You entered him.
I didn't.
Let's put you on trial.
I'm not the one.
You and Weinstein are going down.
It's not about me. It's not about me. Moving on now.
Get yourself a rascal scooter to show up in court on it.
I got back problems. It's Baby Oil and Blow. I am not on trial. I am one of your hosts. I am Matt O. With me, as always, he is the Quentin Tarantino to my Harvey Weinstein. He is Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy, N-words.
Yeah, get him, dog. You can say it.
I don't have that Tarantino pass. I'm not going to say it.
Oh, tell everybody about how you grew up in the hood, because your parents were deadbeats.
I'm going to write Tarantino a letter and see if they'll send me a certificate of N-word off it.
Just start. Look, you're a product of divorce, right?
Oh, that's damn true, yeah.
So when your dad
that's a street right there.
When your dad walked out on you, mm-hmm. your mom had no choice but to move you to Gary, and that's why you can say the N-word.
We were in Gary at the time. We moved out of Gary after that.
Oh.
Does that count? So white flight?
You had a glow up, as they call
Does
it?
Does white flight get you any sort of street cred?
I don't think so. I think it's the opposite. It's also how the town of Lowell was founded.
Maybe that's very true. I think maybe I'll just keep erring on the side of caution far as this whole thing goes.
Right. Well, either way. What month is it, Nate?
It's the month of February. It's Black History Month. It's the month when we reach out to all of our melatonin-rich brothers and sisters, shake their hands, congratulate them on a lifetime of history of humanity well done.
Mm-hmm.
Usually talk about that guy who made peanut butter and stuff. That's people throw that one out a lot.
Michael Jordan.
You know, is a black guy who invented peanut butter. Same guy who played Webster, Emmanuel Lewis. Look it up in a book, motherfuckers.
It's in there, man.
It's also Lights, Camera, Blaction here on Baby Oil and Blow, the action movie podcast. We've been all month watching black-led action films. That's why this week we're moving on to Undercover Brother. And you watch that, right?
Man, you almost got me.
Early 2000s Undercover Brother.
You almost got me.
It was on our schedule. I hope we all watched it. And are able
Which
to.
One is that?
I don't know.
Who's in there? Oh, that's Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin. I didn't know if it was him or Cat Williams, or I was like, this is one of those little guys. It was pre-Kevin Hart, but it's one of those little guys.
Eddie Griffin was that guy for a minute, and then they just stopped giving him moves. Yeah, Undercover Brother. Yeah, he's got the afro and shit.
I bet that one was real good.
I want to say Dave Chappelle's in that one.
Oh, that's a real coup if you can get a Chappelle in your fucking movie.
I want to say that's it's a big one in the stoner culture.
I know there's an Undercover Brother 2, so it was for sure a success. Probably we're going to need to catch up with that one for real one of these days.
What was, and it had one of them 90s white bitches in it, like a Yasmin Bleeth.
I love me a 90s white bitch. I think she was too early 90s.
Denise Richards, maybe? Brother.
I could see a Denise Richards. That would. Yeah. She was just at the tail end of being sort of relevant that she could have shown up in an Undercover Brother.
I just saw a picture of Yasmin Bleeth the other day.
Oh, yeah. She had a real fall from grace, right?
Very heavy set.
Drug problems for a while, and now just like a big old fatty.
Yeah. She's like, I did a lot of cocaine.
I gotta tell you, I was pretty into that chick before all that bad stuff fell down upon her. Back in like the salad days of the 1992s, when everybody was like, Pam Anderson's taking over the world. I was like, nay, I, a 12-year-old boy of refinement, prefer the brunettes on that ridiculous daytime lifeguard TV show starring Hasselhoff.
I think we've discussed it.
All of you plebeians out there, I'm sure, are very fond of the Pam Anderson.
I think you and I have discussed it before.
Boy of culture.
Especially on the show. You and I were a couple of Kathy Ireland fans.
Oh, I loved me some Kathy Ireland back in the early 90s. I'm going to see if Necessary Roughness is on Tubi TV right when we're done recording this podcast.
That's going to be nice
for
you.
I'm throwing that shit on. That steamy shower scene. Loaded Weapon 1, also very good in that.
She in that one?
Oh, yeah, she's in that. That could be a solid double header for me one of these nights when I'm crippled with insomnia and staying up till sunrise for no reason.
Yeah.
Matt, let's get into the rundown of the real movie we're talking about this week. It's not Undercover Brother.
Oh, all right.
It's very close, though. It's 1992's Deep Cover.
Is it really that close?
Rundown this week is brought to us by Cracker Barrel, because I've had Cracker Barrel on the mind. I got big plans to go to the Cracker Barrel soon. Our hood rat friend Molly used to wait tables there, so she knows a lot of menu
hacks. Oh, really?
I'm going to take her with, figure out all the menu hacks she knows.
Can you please, for the love of God, take Maria?
Oh, yeah. Fight her right up.
I do not like that restaurant.
I don't like the Cracker Barrel.
She constantly wants to go there. Although they do have fried chicken now.
Oh.
I gotta try that shit.
Yeah. I'm going to get that on some biscuits and gravy.
Invite me when you guys put that together. We're
you know
go.
What, pal? You got it.
Amanda, you had fried chicken at the Cracker Barrel yet?
I have not, no.
Oh, fuck.
You like a Cracker Barrel?
You know, I'm a fan.
Listen, that's like 3-1 votes right there. Cracker Barrel, go see it. This is why they're our sponsor for the week.
I remain indifferent.
Also, the fried chicken's good. None of us have had it, but it has to be good. It's fucking Cracker Barrel.
I remain indifferent.
They're southern as hell, the people in charge of this place. Runtime of Deep Cover is 108 minutes. The budget is a mystery. I did a lot of digging.
Oh.
By digging, I mean I looked at the Wikipedia page and Box Office Mojo, and neither of them had any word on what this one cost, but it did bring in $16.6 million domestic.
My guess...
That sounds like a success.
My guess watching this movie that is the budget was... inexpensive.
Yeah, I mean, last week, what was Action Jackson, like $7 million or something?
Oh, yeah.
That seemed ridiculously inexpensive, and this thing looked way cheaper than fucking right. Action Jackson. Probably just, you know, could have done this for some Cracker Barrel catering and slip everybody a 20 at the end of the day.
Good chance.
I would have done it. Director is Bill Duke. Star of fucking Action Jackson, which we watched last week.
Boy. Star of the Predator.
Oh, he's fucking also the director of Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit, so fucking don't forget that shit. Sure, yeah, he was in Predator, one of the top three action movies of all time, but directed Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit, the best musical film featuring Jennifer Love Hewitt ever made.
I really don't care for that second one, man.
The second one's the good one.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch the first one? It's full of old ladies.
You and Maria.
The second one's full of hot teenagers, dude. Stars of this movie. First off, we've got old Larry, don't yet call me Lawrence Fishburne, in this thing, playing Russell Stevens / John Hull.
Fun fact, this was his last movie as Larry Fishburne.
As Larry, see, because I could have sworn he would have been Lawrence by this point. I feel like he should have, with this one, should have been like, you know what? Call me Lawrence. I'm a serious actor now.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
He wanted to be a serious actor, and somehow, I don't remember if he turned down the role in Pulp Fiction that Sam Jackson.
That Tarantino ended up playing.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Correct. Yeah, Jimmy.
It's a shame that could have really catapulted him.
What do they look like to you, Larry Fishburne? Couple of dorks.
I wrote this role. The character says the N-word a lot of times.
They looked like a couple of dorks.
I pictured Lawrence Fishburne playing it, but. Guess I'll just have to step in and say that N-word over and over again. Dang.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame. This guy's a Cincinnati cop who ends up going undercover in Los Angeles to take down the drug cartels.
Talk about a big break.
You know Lawrence Fishburne, I'm sure, best for playing Perry White in the critically acclaimed blockbuster Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice. That was a huge late career resurgence for him.
Empty my colon all over that theater.
Jeff Goldblum's in this movie.
Hey, fun fact. Cincinnati.
I don't know about Batman.
Okay. No, Cincinnati.
WKRP.
Oh, baby, if you ever wondered. Cincinnati, most tattoo parlors per capita in the United States.
I would love to take that sort of map, the heat map of tattoo parlors, and just place it like a translucent version over it, over the like the white trash heat map of America, and just see if they're fucking identical.
Look, you got wasted Friday night and really offended my new friend Molly Ringwald Robert Smith at the bar by calling people with tattoos hillbillies when she clearly had full sleeves.
Well, I think I probably did that on purpose. Everybody in there had tattoos.
Oh, yeah. You were pretty much the only person without them.
Got to imagine.
Yeah.
You hit it off with that girl?
Oh, yeah.
You guys were having a
fast
good time.
Fast friends.
Jeff Goldblum. He's in this movie playing David Jason, sleazy lawyer. He's also a drug dealer. Wants to make some designer drugs that are better than cocaine. Best known as an actor for raping Charles Bronson's wife and daughter in the original Death Wish.
Star of Earth Girls Are Easy.
That too, yeah. Everybody loves that one. What happened to Gina Davis? Did she just get old? Is that why she stopped being in movies?
Damon Wayans.
He was on that Lethal Weapon TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Martin Smith is in this movie playing the bucktooth little white guy who cons Fishburne into going deep cover.
Oh, Chamar Smith?
He was the Toad in American Graffiti. Just a fucking nerd. You need like
don't
a
know
nerd
what you're saying
to throw
to me.
On a... He's not a big fan of George Lucas's early work.
THX 1138. I love that
Ooh, you
shit.
You like that one?
I do. It's I really
very
do love
dry.
That. Movie. I love that movie, man. It's so good.
Victoria Dillard is playing Fishburne's coked up art dealing love interest, Betty McCutcheon. She's best known by me and my blossoming young manhood as being one of the royal bathers in Coming to America. That was a scene that really blew my mind back in the day.
Oh, God.
This guy just gets bathed by naked ladies every day. This
oh,
is fucking
man.
Cool as hell.
We're doing Blaxploitation and Black History Month, and you bring up her credit as a naked woman bathing Eddie Murphy and coming to America.
Listen, the people in this movie don't have many credits, man.
All right, that's
outside
fair.
Of the top two.
Bill Duke giving people a chance. Good for him. You're right.
Speaking of which, Gregory Sierra is playing Barbossa, who's like probably the main bad guy through most of this movie, and he did like a lot of TV work and
nothing else.
Yeah, Felix Barbossa, guy who looked like a dentist, and he's playing like the scary mean drug dealer in this.
Yeah.
Sidney Lasik's playing his weird little gay lackey, Gopher. He was Cheswick in Cuckoo's Nest, the guy that offs himself. Clarence Williams III playing Detective Taft, a.k.a. the Reverend, the narcotics agent who's trying to turn Fishburne to the light side of the drug force.
He's your boy from Tales from the Dark Side, right?
Not so certain. He played the drug dealer in Half Baked. I know that.
Isn't he the crazy?
Oh, you're talking about Tales from the Hood?
Tales from the Hood, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a featured role in that. I'm pretty sure you're right about that. As like the mortuary guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's him.
The crazy guy.
Tagline of this film: there's a thin line between catching a criminal and becoming one.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, it looks like your brother Davis Drowski's calling you right now. Are we going to have... or are you calling him?
He's calling me.
Okay, let's maybe just a little guest appearance right here.
Yeah, what's going on, Dave?
Hey, guy.
What's up? You're on Baby Oil and Blow.
Hey, Dave, say hi to the listeners.
Can you take me off this?
Take you off what? You're not on speakerphone.
We were just talking about that time I stabbed you in the thigh with the pushpin at PacSun.
You remember that?
I'm not going to say another word until I get a lawyer.
Oh, we could get you Jeff Goldblum's character David Jason in the movie Deep Cover we're watching right now. Have you seen Deep Cover, Dave?
Call to give us your thoughts on Deep Cover?
I call to give my thoughts on Action Jackson.
Oh, we'll take it.
You didn't listen to the podcast. Get over yourself.
I follow the social media accounts.
No, that's good enough. You can at least like have like a download going so we get the numbers and you don't have to listen to it. Come on, fucking scumbag.
Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, right?
Give us a 5-star review, you asshole.
Oh man, this
you deserve getting that push pin put in your thigh.
I've made a terrible choice here.
Dave, I feel bad about that whole childhood of bullying you had to go through.
Yeah.
He had it coming.
Matt says you had it coming. I don't believe that. I don't believe that was true. You're a sweet little boy. It's not your fault you were the mark of your three-brother dynamic.
Yeah. Ultimate mark.
What kind of mark? Are we talking about, like, wrestling mark or our other mark?
Mark Taylor.
Oh, that too. Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, wait, I forgot you're not the wrestling podcast anymore.
You know I only speak in home improvement metaphors. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'll take that.
Well, thanks for checking in, man. Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, it's nice to have our first caller here on Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Please don't put this on air.
This is broadcast live.
Yeah.
Okay, I never signed consent, so...
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, shouldn't have called up a podcast while they're broadcasting then? I don't know.
Hey, you want to sue us?
Seems like consent to me.
I'll come stab you in the thigh with a pushpin.
Yeah, fucking, and we've got consent for that. Don't try to Weinstein us, brother.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things going on right now.
So, I'll talk to you later.
All right, that sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
First time caller, long time listener.
All right.
Matt, the plot synopsis of Deep Cover. A black uniformed policeman is recruited by a devious drug enforcement agent to infiltrate a smuggling organization seeking to expand into designer drugs. This ugly side of the war on drugs explores the context of race, identity, and hypocrisy within a brutal and alienating investigation. That is Deep Cover. That is the rundown.
Deep Cover. The fucking tagline at the beginning, the criminal versus drug dealer.
There's a thin line between catching a criminal and becoming one. I get to tell you what, after watching Deep Cover here for this podcast, it's true. It seems totally true.
Yeah, they hit the nail on the head there for that one. Because this movie starts out, Nate, I'm going to go right into bullet points. Yeah. Yeah, we need to start doing that.
Bullet points.
They're right because crack pipe.
Oh, yeah. We get some crack pipe smoking over the opening credits. Things are like weirdly stuttered. I wasn't sure if like my streaming was like going down and it was broken or if that's how it was supposed to look. Turns out that's how Bill Duke's just putting some like little stylish shit in the credits there. It made me feel like I was doing crack a little bit. Like, ooh, what's going on?
That's
true. Time passing in the real way? I don't know. I've never smoked crack. I don't know what the effects are.
We fortunately and unfortunately get the best actor in the entire film right in this beginning.
Okay.
But it doesn't last long.
Are we talking about the opening
Larry
scene
Fishburne's
on Christmas
daddy.
Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get a little open with a flashback. We got a young Larry Fishburne and his crackhead dad going to rob a liquor store on Christmas Eve.
As he puts to his
snow's
son.
Snow's fallen. We're on like a back lot. It looks like we're in Gremlins. It like opens in the movie Gremlins, it looks like.
Until we focus in on the car where Larry Fishburne's dad is snorting cocaine.
It's a real beater.
Or is he smoking crack? No, he snorts it, don't he?
Yeah, I just love the horrified look on this little child actor's face as he's watching his dad snort cocaine while yelling, "Don't you ever do this shit!"
But then he follows it up with,
"Great actor.
What you want for Christmas, man?"
If you never do this shit, you hear me? If you never do this shit, it's some bad shit.
You okay?
You okay? You talking to you, boy? Don't you never do this shit, but you never be like me. Don't be like me, all right?
Okay.
Don't do it. Damn it, that's... What you want for Christmas, man?
He refers to him as his little N-word.
Yeah, you caught that too.
His
all right,
cool
good.
As hell.
Come on, I'm sorry, boy. Come on, man. You know, you're my main man. You're my main little nigga. Come on.
This dad's a lot of fun. Like, you grow up with this guy, it's shit's popping off at all times.
Yeah. And it really did, because he immediately went into a liquor store, robbed it.
While he's robbing it, a crazy drunk Santa is just pressing his face up against a car window, screaming at this little kid.
Hey! Merry goddamn Christmas, kid! You been a good boy, huh?
Yeah.
This is a very traumatic day he's going through.
And then crazy crackhead dad's like, "Get away from my car, Santa Claus!" And then he gets shot down by the liquor
shotgunned.
Store.
Through his back, and then his guts explode through his front, all over the car window, right next to his kid's face.
Yeah.
Which just gets another great reaction shot from this traumatized little boy actor.
Daddy! 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 Daddy!
This is a great opening scene.
He gives
right
us a
here.
Nice daddy!
Stakes. You want a fucking character and stakes established right here. This character is traumatized, A, and B... Fucking dad's chests are going to get exploded by shotguns in this movie.
Which sets us up for the next scene that Larry Fishburne hates drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a cop now.
A real fucking Trump-esque teetotaler throughout the first half of this movie. He was like, "Oh, booze? Never touched it. That's a red flag."
Yeah.
You ever meet a weirdo who's never touched any booze? Just turn around, walk the other way, in my opinion.
Ugh, not for me. I'll tell you
Even
right
your weenie little brother gets drunk and makes a fool of himself and he's around.
Yeah.
You should put up some of those pictures of him eating chips.
He hates those.
Bags of chips and pretending like he's working a machine gun turret.
Yeah, don't forget your roots, buddy. You know,
get that shit up on the Instagram.
All of it. Yeah. Oh, to promote that we had our very first call-in.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah.
Is this scene where we're talking about him not doing drugs, the scene, do we go right into nerdy white guy interviewing for
Goes right into DEA guy.
Yeah, so DEA guy's fucking just interviewing people to be his new undercover operative, and he's just telling a joke, uses the N-word.
Telling a Quentin Tarantino
to
joke.
All these black guys' faces. Like, this full-on had to have been the exact sort of auditioning process to play Jules in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Like Fishburne, fucking Samuel Jackson. I'm sure they went through this exact same thing.
Hey, Sam. Yeah, what's the difference between a black guy and a... Yeah.
Yeah. This painting a picture. This is just Bill Duke telling tales, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll find out later on.
When Quentin Tarantino goes
to
jail.
Yeah, this is all Bill Duke just sending shots.
Just shining that light on there.
So eventually, after like a couple of mishaps while this, he asks the right guy
thought that would
the
go
question
wrong.
Of what the difference between a black guy and an N-word is, because Lawrence Fishburne's like... only the N-word would answer that question. That didn't seem like too clever of an answer to me, but white guy's like, yes,
yes,
this guy is my man.
Yes.
He can handle going deep undercover as a drug dealer in the world of Mexican drug cartels.
I just, yeah. Way.
The perfect little litmus test I came up with. I'm glad this worked out so well.
Worked out perfectly. So he's just immediately sent to L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
he's
like,
drug dealer.
We psych profiled you. You're a criminal.
Yeah.
One of the first just insanely racist things a white guy says to a black guy in this movie. Just
he's like you you know you're a decorated cop, but you got more in common with a criminal, right?
You're going to be a better criminal than you are a cop. Trust me, I'm a white guy. Yeah. I know.
I think I would know, not you. So he goes to L.A.
I feel like you had to keep reminding myself watching this that, oh, no, this is made by black people. Like, this isn't just a really racist movie made by a white man. Like, they're biting here. This is supposed to be, you know, some,
supposed to make you squeam.
Some satire.
Make you, squirm in your chair.
We're
a
not
bit.
Celebrating any of this.
Yeah. So immediately, Larry Fishburne goes to L.A., grows a beard, gets a Canadian tuxedo.
Which I was like, at first when it was like Cincinnati, I was like, we're gonna set a movie in Cincinnati? All right, Cincinnati, that hardly ever happens. But then instantly it's like, nope, we're in LA, don't worry, nothing cool happens in Cincinnati, we're not gonna set a whole movie
here. we just had to get somebody that wasn't local. I get it. So we're in LA, he's dressed the part. He's walking around. Yeah. He's meeting the other drug
getting
dealers.
Some like hard.
They throw you right into it. I like
noir
it.
Narration throughout this whole thing. Fishburne's talking directly to me. It really reminded me of the vibes, the nighttime scenes, and just dude with a deep voice talking to me. I felt like I was watching that '90s Spawn cartoon on HBO.
Ooh, Malbosia. Yeah.
It's full on, just like hoping for Leguizamo to show up at some point. Really would have taken
Adams
this movie over the top.
Sold his soul to Malbolgia.
I'll tell you what, Malbolgia wants to pop up in my living room, I'm giving him that soul right away.
Huh.
I'd do it for some, like, Taco Bell, probably.
You love green glowing chains, though.
Give me a couple bags of Taco Bell and some green glowing chains.
Oh,
whatever, I'm
man.
On board.
Mask is pretty cool,
I'll be
too.
Your Spawn. He's not being a Spawn in this movie, though. He's just being a drug dealer. It's not as cool as Spawn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. No, it's just him being a drug dealer.
I think we've vaguely got plans for a shitty comic book movie month, right? Yeah, maybe we'll talk about Spawn someday.
They're supposed to be doing a new darker
Darkwing
Spawn.
Duck? I'd watch the shit out of a live-action Darkwing Duck movie.
Duly noted.
One of the young girls who works for me was complaining the other day that one time she showed up in some sort of outfit, and I told her that she looked like Darkwing Duck, and she was really offended by it.
Did she even know what that was?
I guess so.
Wow.
I don't remember saying it, but she was very offended by it.
Huh?
I wish I could remember what she was wearing. I bet that was a pretty funny crack I made.
Let's get dangerous. She shouldn't have wore that fucking cape and
purple. Imagine she had some sort of
double-breasted blazer with shoulder pads and a big floppy hat.
Listen, if you're an insecure young girl and you go out on a limb fashion wise you're gonna get some blowback from me. That's just how it's gonna
work absolutely because A, you probably do look like an idiot, but B, Nate or myself are also really out of touch. So
also you gotta just neg women, man. It's just classic negging. They love it.
You gotta do that. Women want to be lied to.
So what's the next scene in this movie?
A lot of stuff. He just goes to L.A.
Does the shit guy with all the gold chains show up yet? Because the next thing I got in my notes is how awesome, crazy, ripped to shit guy with the ponytail and gold chains is.
Yeah. They set it all up real fast. He's in there with Eddie. Eddie's the local drug dealer.
Roger Guinevere Smith.
And he's
a fast-talking weirdo who's got a long head that looks like Mac Tonight.
Yeah, pretty much.
He looks like a light-skinned version of Mac Tonight.
Real quick, Larry Fishburne's got a drug pyramid he's got to take down.
That's right.
That's what the DEA wants.
There's some sort of Mexican politician at the top.
And already,
his nephew or something in the middle. And then,
Larry Fishburne's already like, let's get the guy at the top. And the DEA guy's like, no. Second guy's good.
That guy's pretty
second
important.
Guy's good.
We don't want to go after him.
And he's like, all right. So he gets in there with Eddie, the lowest common guy. They don't need Eddie. They want something above Eddie. Mm-hmm. So he starts selling drugs for Eddie. Along the way, he gets mixed up with Ivy, the big strong guy.
Okay, yeah, because Ivy is a rival drug dealer to this whole group going on, and he's like get off my fucking corner, because I have Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS driving me around in a fucking rag top, and I'm cool as hell. I'm screaming shit all the time.
Yeah. He was going to beat up a woman.
Quoting the Terminator constantly.
Right. He was going to beat up a woman, and Larry Fishburne stepped in and pulled a gun on him and was like, "How about you get out of here, dude?" To which he responds with, "Hasta la vista, motherfucker!"
One of the many very cool motherfucker lines you get in this movie.
And then
a lot
says,
of people channeling Pam Grier in this thing.
And then right after that says, "You know, like in the movie, go rent it from your local video store."
That's right. I'll be back. I'll be back. You seen that movie?
Yeah.
This guy loves Terminator, and I love him. Maybe my favorite character in a movie full of weird characters. Eddie's nothing to sneeze at either, though. This guy is, like, weird. He seems super gay, but, like, he talks about pussy a lot, which is a theme that pops up in this movie. Like, every character, I think, is a gay character, and I'm not sure if they are or not, because everybody is just being crazy flamboyant.
Right. Everybody's just,
Eddie's sort of partner on the same level of him is Jeff Goldblum. We learn this at some point.
Yeah.
And he's...
They're kind of... Goldblum's the brains. Eddie's the
Eddie's just the dipshit that's gonna get everybody in trouble. And it's not too long into this whole operation where this happens, where Eddie gets pinched.
Yep.
By
I got those same notes. Eddie gets pinched.
Yeah, old boy, the religious cop we were talking about,
Taft.
Yeah, Taft from
from
Tales from the Hood. I guess we established. And Eddie's just a stool pigeon. He's gonna rat everybody out right away. So. First thing he does is throw old Larry Fishburne, the new guy, under the bus. Like, let's fucking sting this guy and set him up and arrest him.
So he gets hauled in. He's like, well, shit, I'm deep in now. Like, I don't know what the fuck
this
to
is
do.
Local cops. I'm working for the feds. Yeah. I can't tell them that I'm a cop. I just got to fucking cool out in prison for a while.
Jerry, the DEA agent, doesn't even show up to be like, relax, bro, we got this.
Oh, no. When you're undercover, there's only one thing you got to do. Don't blow your cover.
Yeah, so he thinks
he assures us of that a lot.
He thinks he's going to jail. It's his court date, but then who shows up as his attorney?
Scumbag lawyer Jeff Goldblum.
That's right. Very believable.
Yeah,
here.
He's real cocky. Yeah. He's shooting finger guns to like people in the jury, like
he's
winking at the fucking
it's
prosecutors.
Believable until a certain point, and that's when he asks Larry Fishburne if he wants a chiclet.
Uh-huh.
And then they're both just chomping on gum in the middle of the court proceedings. No judge would stand for that. Especially when he approached the judge and is just chomping
That's
gum
some
in
great
his face.
Character work. This guy
no
gets
judge
away
will
with
stand
anything.
For that.
Fucking this is a theme that goes throughout the movie. This guy's always pushing boundaries, seeing what the fuck he can get away with.
You think the judge was on the take?
I mean, come on. All of a sudden this shit that Larry Fishburne got caught buying was baby laxative out of nowhere. Yeah. Everybody's on the take, man. The take is on the take. Open up your eyes.
Take is on the take. Yeah, that's fair. So he gets out of jail, and he's like, hey, thanks, Jeff Goldblum. You're
a
good
like,
guy.
You know what? Thank you for keeping your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing we like here in the drug dealing world.
We'd
people
like,
who fucking get pinched and don't squeal.
Yeah, we'd like to introduce you to a guy that would appreciate you not squealing.
Yeah. Also, like, before they introduce him, though, to Barbossa, there's the scene where Barbossa comes to Jeff Goldblum's house.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's trying to teach
he's like, fix all this
stupid
shit.
Stupid little daughter math.
Yeah.
She can't do multiplication tables. She's
a fucking idiot. Because
she keeps trying to add instead of multiplying.
Yeah.
This girl just had a fucking stupid little
what
pie
dummy.
Face.
She's dumb.
I was hating this little girl.
So,
Yeah, but he's like, hey, Eddie's fucking a stool pigeon. Like, I'm here hitting on your wife. You're clearly very afraid of me. I look like a slightly browner version of Dr. Clayton Forrester from Mystery Science Theater 3000, but we're all going to pretend like I'm a really like a scary bad guy. This all gets established.
I thought he looked more like a mix between Edward James Olmos and Dr. Katz.
Too much hair for a Jonathan Katz, but it's definitely demure like him in demeanor.
He had the fucking...
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan.
But Katz had like fucking nothing. He was working with like fucking nothing.
Dr. Katz.
Real fucking cue ball.
Making a good cup of coffee, Dad, is like building a great house.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You start with a foundation.
Yes.
And then you get some wood and one of those things that makes sure everything is level. What are those called?
Level?
A level.
Yep.
And then you build up.
Top it off. Then you top it off
with a roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a paint job on that mother...
Yeah.
And
then you move in.
And then you move in, and yep. then you get divorced.
Yeah.
You go
ugly
to court,
settlement. Ugly. I get custody of the kid.
All right, let's get off coffee.
So they go to the pool hall to talk to Felix for the first time. Uh-huh. And Felix is like, hey, thanks for bringing this guy that I don't know, but he didn't squeal, unlike somebody in our group.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking crackhead Eddie's just like, hey, what are you talking about?
There was a scene we missed that I want to bring up before Eddie set up Fishburne and got him arrested. When they're setting up this meeting that eventually goes bad, it's all happening next to a boxing ring, and Eddie's just eating a popsicle, a real drippy popsicle for no reason.
Yeah, this is when...
it's just so random.
Yeah.
And after their talk is over, he tries to hand Fishburne the rest of the popsicle and says, hey, man, kill it.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't want
I don't want to eat the end of your drippy, gross popsicle. You're just slobbering all over. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie's cool as hell.
Oh, that's the first run-in with Goldblum.
Okay, that's where he meets him.
Right.
He's next to the boxing ring.
Yeah,
where,
before the look.
Because Goldblum's like, this guy Fishburne's a fucking cop. Like, don't even introduce him to me. I can tell he's a cop.
And he's like, I'll kill you, motherfucker. I ain't no cop.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows up as the lawyer, and he's like,
this shit happens.
Just busting
and
your balls.
And then we go meet old Felix at the fucking... Is this when they're just talking and there's a stripper dancing in the background?
No. Okay. This is before that. This is at the pool hall where they're playing pool, and Felix is, for no reason, eating, like, a nice plate of spaghetti in a pool hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Godfather or some shit. And he's like, hey, everybody's very cool, and I'm so happy to have you on my team, except for that one guy who's a snitch,
mm-hmm.
who shall remain nameless, but his name is Eddie.
And then Eddie gets... This is a great acting scene right here.
Right.
Fucking Eddie begs and he pleads, and then Felix beats him to death with a pool cue.
Right.
And we just get a lot of little bitch screaming as he's just getting brutally beaten with a pool cue.
Felix keeps laying in on that disappointment thing, and he's like, something's gonna happen. Like, you owe me money. Like, what are we gonna do here? He's like, fuck, maybe I'll have Jeff Goldblum kill you. And Jeff Goldblum's like, I'm not killing anybody.
No. At this point, these drug dealers haven't killed anybody, and it seems like none of them think they're ever going to have to kill people. And so you're entering the world of drug dealing, assholes.
And at that point...
We kill people all the time.
At that point, Eddie's like, I'm on crack. I'm going to lash out here. I'm going to stab Felix with a spork.
Felix! What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
Jesus fucking Christ, man! It was a joke, Eddie! It was a fucking joke!
I'm not doing a joke! Go home, Eddie, would you please go home, huh?
Yeah, apologize to these guys and go home.
Felix is like, I was just fucking with you, bro. No one's gonna kill you. He's like, you've made a mistake. I'm just gonna help you out of this restaurant right now and beat you to death with a pool cue.
Mm-hmm. Work for me, Eddie. Learn to keep your fucking mouth shut. You understand, Eddie? And if you can't fucking do it, I'll fucking do it for you.
Sucker.
Fucking do it for you permanently. Come here.
And this is where we learn, this dentist-looking motherfucker, Felix, is badass as hell, and he will just kill people brutally. And then he, looks at Fishburne and Goldblum. He's like, fuck it, I just killed somebody. You ever seen somebody die? And Goldblum weirdly is like, Well, one time in a summer camp when I was a kid.
Jewish summer camp.
I saw an accident where a kid got ran over by a speedboat. It's a weird fucking thing to tell a drug dealer who just beat somebody to death in front of you. This movie's full of like weird dialogue and weird scenes where I'm just like, who are these weird characters? And why are they all together dealing drugs?
When he's telling that story, all I could think about was that scene in Wet Hot American Summer where Andy's supposed to be taking the kids water skiing.
No attention to these kids.
Yeah.
This is where we meet Gopher too, and he's like all aghast at his boss beating him to death. Yeah. And this is also before that when Eddie calls him the F word, and I'm like, so Eddie's not gay, so I guess Gopher's gay? This movie is obsessed with homosexuality.
Yeah.
They say the F word way more times than any other movie we've ever watched. People are constantly accusing people of not having balls or not having the big enough balls or being the F word.
I'm going to tell you.
And meanwhile, every character has a lisp. Like, every character's prancing around all fancy.
Nate,
it's weird as hell.
Nate, this plays into the criminal underworld, buddy.
Yeah, there's a lot of this shit going on.
This exists. It's a lot of
behind
like
bars, but out on
I'm
the streets.
I'm not gay. You're gay.
I also thought maybe like deep cover, we're going undercover, we're playing different roles, and I was like, is this all a metaphor for being on the down low?
Keep it on the down low.
Being an undercover cop just a metaphor for
Nobody
being on the down low in this movie.
Has to know.
So Eddie's dead. That's perfect for Goldblum and fucking Fishburne, because they're like, we could just slide up and take his place now.
Yeah.
This is great. This whole chain of command thing, we're raising right up it.
Yeah, we're doing
great. A couple of young up-and-comers.
And then Fishburne's like, what if we just kind of bypass Felix? And go straight for fucking Guzman.
Shooting for the top.
Or not Guzman, Gallegos.
There's so many just Latin last names that get thrown around in this movie, and it's often of characters who like are existing off screen and who we don't even meet. And I'm just like, I don't have any idea who you're talking about. They're just like Gallegos and Estrada and Guzman and Barbosa, and I'm who are these people?
Right,
somewhere
Gallegos
around?
Is right above Felix.
Okay,
and Felix is, what's Felix's last name?
He's Barbosa.
He's
Barbosa. Felix Barbosa.
So Felix answers to Gallegos. Gallegos is the nephew of
Guzman, who is the politician.
Who's the politician, right.
Okay, he's also at some top. Point around this point in the movie, we learn that Lawrence Fishburne lives next to a crackhead bitch.
Oh, Belinda.
A little boy.
Yeah.
Fishburne sees a lot of a young himself in this little boy, so he gives him money to get enchiladas and shit.
He's like, you shouldn't have to see your parents do drugs. What you want for Christmas, man? You know?
So there's this crazy fucking scene where this bitch tries to sell her kid to Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
She's all cracked out and just
God.
At first she's like, hey, I'm clean. I got tested. No HIV. He's not looking like he wants to hit it. So then she's like, well, you want to buy my kid then?
Yeah.
$3,000. No, wait, $2,000. Come on, man. I'm not going any lower than $2,000.
Yeah, it
seems wild.
It's pretty nuts, man. So, what happens? So, they beat the shit out of Eddie. They kill him, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now they're the new drug kingpins
on
the street.
So now Fishburne's got to start recruiting people to be his dealers. He's got people selling for him. He's getting some coke from Barbosa. He's cutting it up, sending it to the people under him.
Right.
There's a whole, like, sort of thing going on.
He's got some hoe working for him that he kind of likes.
All about being drug dealers.
Bijou.
Yeah, he's got four kids to
Bijou.
Raise. We know he's got a soft spot for kids.
And so he's like, hey, you can sell or
Bijou
you can...
Bijou is a nice classic cocktail. That's a 1 ounce London dry gin, 1 ounce sweet vermouth, 3/4 ounce green chartreuse, and a dash of orange bitters, I'm going to say.
Oh, I could get down on
that. Yeah, I could get down on a Bijou all day, every day.
Ooh, so he's got this
little
lady.
It's also a drug dealing lady from the movie Deep Cover.
Right. He's like, you either do the drugs or you sell the drugs, but you ain't doing both. And she's like, okay, cool. I appreciate this.
I got four kids to feed.
For employment, so I'm just going to sell them.
Unfortunately, ripped to shit ponytail guy.
Ivy.
Shoots her fucking head off. So
yeah.
It doesn't work out well for her, this whole drug game.
And so Jeff Goldblum's like, well, you got to kill that guy to let them know we're the kings of the streets.
These are the streets. He punked us out.
Yeah.
We don't want to look like punks or we'll be punks. I'm a rich Jewy lawyer, I can't get my hands dirty.
You have to do
this. You're going to have to kill him. This is just how things work here in the real world.
So Larry goes to the fucking club. They got a fucking...
There's a rap show going on.
It makes two to make a thing go right, you know,
there's
whatever.
A lot of really embarrassing dancing going on.
A lot
on.
Of white people just...
But that's the thing. Like, only half of the crowd is white people. There's also a lot of black people just doing some really cornball dancing. And that's I'm like, fair. Black people, I am embarrassed for you right in this moment.
It's
if
also
these were
upsetting.
All white people, I'd be like, understandable. These people... Come on, y'all fucking doing some vanity level elbows out
that's
clown
fair.
Dancing.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. So Larry follows Ivy.
Who's sweating through a
say,
silk shirt.
Soaked.
Just sweating
sweated
through
straight
a fucking
through that
silk
shirt. Follows him into the bathroom and he's just like.
How long do you think they were filming that dance sequence to get him so sweaty? Or were they like spritzing him down to get the effect going?
No, that was real.
Takes?
That was real, Nate.
He had some Dan Severn sweat going
yeah.
on.
So he shows up in the bathroom. He's gonna kill him, but he doesn't give him the iced tea. I'm gonna shoot you so bad. My dick is hard.
No, it's the opposite.
He's the opposite.
He shows
of that.
Up
like,
and his dick is instantly flaccid.
He's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. What am I doing right
this
now?
This is such an also weird, great interaction between two weird ass characters.
Yeah,
because like. Fucking Ivy is just like nonplussed, just like, oh, I knew you'd come in the bathroom to kill me. What's up, man?
He catches Larry coming
so casual.
Coming in on him in a mirror.
And then he's all like, what? You're not going to kill me? What, you some sort of little bitch?
Yeah.
Why don't I take my dick around?
Did you come here to suck my dick?
Wagging it around and just
probably came
peeing
here to suck
while
my
I'm
dick.
Fucking helicoptering it. And
I'm
just helicopter
all
piss
you.
Streams all over your pants and your shoes, Fishburne.
And that is when Larry Fishburne is like, I have to kill this guy.
Yeah, it just got real. If I was looking like a punk before.
You peed on me?
Now I've been golden showered.
I gotta kill you, man.
So then he fucking just puts two in his chest.
Yeah.
And after getting fucking shot in the heart, Ivy's still just like real casual about the whole thing.
Wait, he says something. Shit.
His last words are, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, there it is, yeah. You fucking bitch.
He's just like, oh, I can't believe you fucking did that, you fucking bitch. You shot me in my heart and killed me.
So Larry Fishburne runs out of the building. He's like, I gotta puke. But before he can.
Oh, yeah. It's
Gold
raining.
Bloom's there.
It's real film noir shit
it
right now.
Pretty
we've,
cool.
we've fucking, we've, yeah. we've done an inexcusable sin.
Yeah.
It's raining. Things are gonna start falling apart now.
We're too deep.
We're getting in too deep. This is the downward spiral.
I had killed a man who looked like me, whose mother and father looked like my mother and father, and nothing happened. The police didn't come after me. No one did. I could have killed others if I wanted to and gotten away with it.
Before you can even puke, though, Goldblum's there, and he's like, you did it. You did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're best buddies now.
On his shoulder. Goldblum's the devil and old Detective Taft is the angel. We're pulling at his soul, Fishburne's soul here.
So he's officially in with Goldblum.
Very dramatic.
And Goldblum's like, hey, instead of selling this whack-ass crack,
mm-hmm.
I got a crazy synthetic drug.
Yeah, I got
it's
this
future,
chemist
man.
Nerd. He's created like coke, but cool.
He made
you don't turn into a... To quote Bill Cosby, asshole, when you snort the cocaine.
Can you do that? But can you, like, can you quote him anymore?
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Remember when he has that, where he has that dream where everybody's having babies?
Uh-huh.
But it's the men?
Yeah.
He gives, like, gives birth to like, the hoagie.
Giant, yeah, sandwich.
Two liters of orange soda.
That's real good.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
They haven't worked anything out for themselves. It's my barbecue sauce.
Your barbecue sauce.
My barbecue sauce. Haven't you ever noticed after people have some of my barbecue sauce, after a while when it kicks in, they get all huggy-buggy?
Oh, stop.
I'm dead serious. Haven't you ever noticed that after one of my barbecues and they have the sauce, people want to get right home? Let me tell you something else. I got a cup of it up on the night table and I got a cup of it, I said. Left it up there breathing. Why don't you give the chicken to these people that's going up and have some sauce?
So he's like, hey, we're going to like be partners now, man. I got this crazy drug that we're going to sell to people in 90210.
As he's establishing to him, he's got an idea for a new drug. He also establishes that their thing they're going to do as buddies is ask each other all the time what the craziest thing they've ever done sex-wise is.
Yeah.
It's a weird back and forth.
Yeah, that keeps being like a big
Goldblum
thing.
Goes off on how this tangent about brown showers.
Yeah.
How sometimes there's women who can ejaculate huge amounts of liquid.
Yeah.
He's talking about squirters and fucking scat play in 1992,
right.
Before the fucking internet, before like anybody,
right.
Everybody
right.
Could just call this shit up and everybody knows about all this shit.
Bill Duke was doing cool
this
things.
This is not built into the script. This is Goldblum.
You think Goldblum's fucking, he's going, he's improvising?
Nobody's writing that down on a paper fucking brown showers and squirting
white.
In 1992.
That is pretty white. That is
this is fucking Goldblum going into business for himself. I don't know. This guy finding some fucking underground fucking dark ass marketplace porn somewhere.
Weird sexually. One time on the set of The Fly,
stammering Goldblum in this, which is a little disappointing.
I let Gina Davis defecate on my chest and proceeded to finger blast her until she spewed ejaculate all over the feces from her on my chest. Larry Fishburne got rich in the process, don't forget.
Oh yeah, this all happens.
Jerry the DE agent was like, get a nice house, get some clothes.
And we meet Goldblum's friend, old lady who works
Betty.
At the art exhibit place who
money launderer.
She launders all his drug money for him through these like purchasing of tribal artifacts, and like there's some steam between him and her and Fishburne right away. These two are gonna bang, you know it.
Immediately. They're going to get down and dirty.
The next big thing that happens is that they start planning on going around old Felix Barbosa. And before they can even get their plan into effect, Barbosa and Goldblum have a little bit of a fucking problem with each other. And shit falls apart pretty quick.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
takes us to the hand slapping
this
scene.
This is the nun stripper scene.
This is, we're having a meeting. They're wanting to go over Barbosa's head and order larger quantities of coke from his supplier
right.
rather than go through him. He's not having it. There's a stripper who's starts as a nun and then strips
yep.
down behind them in this empty fucking place they're in. Like they
yeah,
clearly just hired her to
yeah.
dance in the background while they have a fucking drug dealer meeting during the off hours of this club.
Fucking titty tassels.
Yeah, then
on.
Titty tassels.
The audacity.
This is weird because when fucking Fishburne bangs old art dealer chick, we get to see her titties, and she's like a name actress with a speaking role.
And you get
a stripper who keeps titty tassels.
Well,
on.
You get pink haired crackhead. In the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Eddie's
shit, her titties
Nubian
are up.
Queen,
yeah.
as he says.
Yeah. Who's white as
yeah,
the day is long.
White as hell. Why do you call her a Nubian queen?
He's fucked
Eddie
up.
Eddie fit in a lot of weird lines in his brief
yeah,
screen time
great.
In this movie.
He did great, man. So either way, they're having a little symposium
yeah,
luncheon.
Barbosa
yada,
just
yada.
Keeps calling Goldblum out for being a schmuck and a bitch. And, like, it just escalates real quickly.
And he's like, oh, are you some kind of F-word? Like, are you some kind of, like, guy? Mm-hmm. Like, you ain't never been to jail, or else if you did, your asshole would be bigger it's enough just, to swallow a watermelon.
That's when he bangs his hands on the table and is like, yeah. enough, I'm Goldblum, I'm going to assert my lanky dominance.
Brindlefly!
And then they just get up and they play that hand
Mercy.
Slap game where you go palm to palm and then you try to slap the back of the other guy's hands. And
but,
it's super weird.
Yeah, it's really weird because Felix is like, you know that old game you used to play at your Jew camps?
Uh-huh. Which, also, I'm learning more and more about Jews. I love it. This is just, this whole podcast has been a learning experience for me this week.
I mean,
very
I know.
Fascinated with their culture.
Like, there's, honest to God, like, Camp David, which is like a Jew camp.
Oh, no, like,
and then
on
there's
the
also,
East
like,
Coast,
internment
that's,
Jew camps.
No, that's,
is that what he's
they're
talking
not,
about?
They're not trying to make Holocaust shit. That's just a thing on the East Coast. Like, Jews send their kids to summer camp.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar, yeah.
Okay.
All right, yeah. I didn't know if it was like
no,
that
I don't,
or if
I don't
we're
think
like
we're trying to make
deeper.
Dig it any deeper
yeah,
than that.
No, we're just
but
like,
they play
yeah.
this scene as if it's just, like, the most high-stakes thing ever. And mm-hmm. as Barbosa, he's very much better at this game than Goldblum, his mm-hmm. reaction times. They just, they try to, like, act like he's being very seriously injured.
Another ghost fart from
by getting his hand slapped. Like he's getting just like visible cuts and stuff.
Well, he's got
like
he's got rings.
It seems like he's sure.
He's which hitting would, him with those rings,
which would sting for a second. But like after
they'll
this is over,
you open,
his
man.
Hands are completely bandaged up. Like he's lost the use of his hands, yeah. And like old Gopher again is getting all squirmy and nervous. Like, oh, it's going too far. You're really hurting his hands at this point. And I'm like, it's just the hand slap game. What's this movie's gone off the rails?
Well, he's like punching his hands, though. He's not slapping them.
Sure. Ouch. I got punched in the hand. It hurt for a few minutes.
He's just busting his knuckles with rings.
They act like fucking Goldblum's not going to be able to play piano anymore after this. There's just the really dramatic music. Like,
yeah.
The stakes of this hand slap game are just ratcheted up way too high.
So he's all bandaged up. He's at home with his wife. His wife is like, you got to get out of this drug dealing game. You got a great family. I'm hot as shit. Get out of here. She wasn't.
Your daughter's an idiot, but whatever.
She was 90s blonde.
I kind of liked her skeezy bleach blonde hair, but the face wasn't doing anything for me. That's for sure.
I like my skeezy blondes to be like Maurice. You know that?
Oof, for sure.
So
French Canadian.
She's like, hey, like, just knock it off. And he's like, oh, I'm kicking it too.
This is the next completely weird bit of
time. I'm kicking it too. Buy me a cookie, get your cookie. I want my cookie too.
She gets up, she walks away. He's got a 1,000-yard stare, and he just reiterates to no one, I want my cake and eat it too.
Buy me a cookie, get your cookie.
I guess we've established that Goldblum's lost it now. Him losing the hand slap game was a fucking too far. Things are about to go crazy, and this drug deal where they're ordering double what they normally order goes fucking nuts.
Because Felix is like,
Felix is
fuck
a rat
these
too.
Guys. I'm working with a dirty cop. He needs to take in somebody.
Taft's partner Mendoza is a dirty cop.
I'm going to give them...
And Taft show up to this thing.
Two N-words and a K-word that they call Jewish people.
Throws all that stuff around. Barbosa's being real racist here. For a person of color, pretty disappointing. Come on, let's have some solidarity here in the drug underworld.
Too very comfortable.
But yeah, this whole thing goes wrong because Fishburne's told by his nerdy white boss not to show up because he knows that the double cross is coming. Fishburne shows up instead, defying orders.
He's like, I'm not just going to give up this case. Like, I'm so deep in it, man. I'm so deep cover right now.
He fucking killed Ponytail. Like, he's killing people.
He's like, I'm so deep cover.
He's wearing one of those new weighted blankets they're trying to sell on the TV, which seems like a terrible thing to me.
People
I don't
want
to feel claustrophobic under a really heavy blanket.
It's can we be honest here for a second?
Oh, yeah, okay.
They already sold a thing.
A bit of honesty.
For dogs that are afraid of lightning and fireworks. They're called thunder shirts.
So they've just basically sewn two of them together and started selling them to idiot people?
Yep. They're like, hey, it made your dog feel better. Yeah, maybe you'll like it.
You're as dumb as a dog. Buy our product.
Yeah. Here's the thing to smother you while you lash out at the world.
So this thing pops off bad. Fishburne calls out Barbosa for wearing a wire, puts a gun under
his
fucking chin.
He does a good job.
Mendoza, the dirty cop's got a sniper rifle, and he tries to snipe fucking Fishburne, but hits a goon, and then
he's like, I gotta do something.
Detective Taft, the reverend, starts screaming, like, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody hops in the fucking limo. Fishburne's driving.
Yeah.
Old Art Girl and fucking Barbosa and Goldblum are in the back.
Cop cars are
coming out of nowhere.
This is when Goldblum really starts going
nuts. We get a crazy chase scene where Fishburne's fucking fishtailing
this
big-ass limo
He's
around.
He's doing a good job.
Driving like a nut. Meanwhile, Goldblum's just
screaming. Felix Arrette. Felix Arrette.
Wilding out.
Felix Arrette.
Sounds like he's doing slam poetry in the back.
Felix the Rat. Felix the Rat.
I'm telling you, he's a fucking cop. I want somebody to know what was going on.
You motherfucker.
If I was a cop, you'd be face down on the floor back there.
Start shooting Felix in the hands to get some hand revenge at him. He's demanded that he jump out of the fucking speeding
Which
car.
Which is pretty cool.
Felix the Rat. Get out of the car.
Fine, stop the car and I'll get out.
Oh, can't stop. No time. Get out of the car.
Not now, David!
Yes, now! Open the fucking door!
God damn it!
We traded us to the cops, just like Eddie. And Eddie had to die. The same rules should apply to Felix. No! ever again.
No, David, we can't do this.
David, stop it or we're gonna die. Are you alright? You'll both die. Everybody'll die.
It's almost time. It's not open. It's not open. Okay, I'll get it. I'll get it. Here, here.
Eric, God damn it.
David, stop it!
Now! Get the fuck down!
David, please!
You don't often see a car chase that utilizes a limo, so it's cool to just see this limo doing all these crazy stunts, and you got fucking just neurotic Goldblum screaming his fucking head off. It just adds so much more tension to the scene. I really like this car chase.
Finally, he shoots him up enough, and he's finally just like, well, you're gonna fucking die, bro.
He opens the car door and then shoots him in the ass so that Felix goes flying out of the car.
And when that happens,
this is when he stands outside of the car. The speeding
car. Before that, right when Felix goes out of the car, that's when Larry Fishburne goes,
ah! Well, come on, she was going nuts. I felt that in my soul too. He was just saying what we were all thinking.
I guess. But he did that.
He forgot for a second that he's got that whole deep voice gimmick going.
Well, there they were. And, Goldblum's hanging out of the car yelling something about shrimp.
Barbosa's like, I'll see you in hell. So, Goldblum's like,
see you soon, David.
Yeah, we'll have shrimp. Get the fuck out! Get the fuck out!
I'll see you in fucking hell!
He goes flying out of the car, gets immediately brutally ran over by a fucking speeding cop car.
Squad car.
Is when Goldblum then stands up and hangs his whole body out of the car and yells,
then we'll have barbecue jumbo shrimp, you motherfucker!
Get back in the fucking car, David!
I don't know where the shrimp came in, but now they're jumbo shrimp in hell, and we get our latest motherfucker in this movie. Throwing a lot of motherfuckers around.
Jumbo shrimp in hell, motherfucker.
Same in
my autobiography.
And in this scene, Goldblum has cake and ate it too.
Did he?
Get to kill his
He
got to kill his boss.
You want a cookie? You got a cookie.
Now he gets to step up another fucking rung on the ladder, become his boss. Now him and Fishburne are the guys who are the guys under the guy. Like, everything's working out great.
Yeah, they're like, this is it. We're good now. Like, everything's good. We're going to be the bosses. And like, Larry Fishburne's like, I'm fucked up. Mm-hmm. And Betty's like, you think you're fucked up? Like, I'm just a fucking coke-addled fucking art dealer. Like, how do you think I feel?
So it all seems very glamorous to me at
first. He's like, I tell you what.
Now I've watched people die.
He's like, I'm going to make you feel better if I come to your house and fuck you again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no.
Listen, man.
I know
Goldblum
the fly
snapped.
Wants to kill me.
Goldblum wants to kill me.
Like, I saw the fly. I know how that guy operates.
Like, no, baby girl. I'm here to open up to you about my dad.
My name's Lawrence Fishburne.
How my dad died on Christmas Eve.
I like to talk really low. You're going to be safe with me.
And she's like, nope. That guy's crazy, and he wants to kill me.
And then the narration starts getting wilder here, too, because Fishburne's like, He's crossed a line. He starts doing drugs for the first time. So then, like, his rhymes start getting crazier and crazier when he's, like, talking to us.
Yeah.
Starts to take on, like, a Dolomite-signified monkey fucking, which is one of the things I really like about this movie. Just all the crazy rhyming and flowery language and all the narration really makes this weird movie a step weirder.
Well, he doesn't go full off the deep end here. He's fucking with old girl.
So, like, just out of nowhere, one of Galagos, is that the next guy up on the line? One
Correct.
Of his goons just shows up in the bedroom and is like, hey, come with me.
Yeah.
How'd this guy get in the house? Nobody fucking heard this guy?
Well, they killed Felix.
This guy's like a fucking ninja.
They killed Felix. So they drag him to fucking, they drag Larry and Jeff Goldblum to the funeral for Felix.
Okay, yeah, so we're just having a drug dealer meeting at Felix's funeral. This is some solid screenwriting here. We're not going to have two scenes, a funeral and our next drug conversation. Make that the same scene.
And Gallegos is like, oh, I really liked Felix. And he's like, I'm just kidding. I didn't give a shit. Here's the lowdown. He owed me $1.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now you do.
You also, while I'm telling you this, I have a lisp and I'm wearing a cape.
And I got long nails.
The latest character who seems completely gay.
I'm either Frank Costanza's lawyer, mm-hmm. or I'm gonna fuck you, one of the two.
So also he just starts accusing people of being gay, so he's not gay, question mark.
I'm not gay, you gay, motherfucker.
Everyone in this movie's gay.
Probably. So we established that, and then we get the So Jerry, the DEA agent.
I am a DEA agent.
He's like, bro, like, you went too high. Like, let's just take this guy.
We
and
told
he's like,
you.
He's like, no. He's like, I got a meeting
it
with.
Ends now.
He's like, I just met with Galagos. I'm going to get the guy above him.
No, and nobody's going
like,
after
no,
these guys.
No. Nobody does that. And he's like, well, you know what? I quit being a cop. Mm-hmm. He's like, nobody ever does that.
This is fucking Point Break end scene. Yeah. Johnny Utah throwing his badge into the ocean.
But it's like halfway through the movie instead.
So the whole game had been a joke. A joke on me. I was a fool. I'd been turned out like a $2 hoe. Used. Abused. But with no towel. And no kiss.
Probably like two-thirds.
We're probably two-thirds into the movie, which is bad news for me because this is where my notes have just run out.
That's all right. I got more.
We go into the end stretch here.
Yeah, so he takes
just
Jerry's flask.
Killing the next guy in the ladder
and he's
then
like,
taking their place.
Well, F it. I'm going to be top guy. I'm going to take everybody down. And like you said, he really just does that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, hey, we owe old boy 1.8.
Not a lot of strategizing in this movie. It's just like, kill the next guy and then we'll take his place.
They're like, we got 1.1.
Being a drug dealer is easy.
We'll just go talk to him.
Gopher is working for Goldblum and Fishburne at this point.
I like that. Yeah,
That guy tried to double cross us and whatever, but I'm sure his weird little goon guy is cool. Like, he's still our friend. We could all still hang out.
Yeah, so they show up to the movie theater that Gallegos is hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we're just here to give him money.
Psych, shoot you with guns in your chest.
And so they do. They shoot everybody.
And this is where Goldblum gets a little bit of an action thing, because, like, fucking Fishburne shoots Gallegos, and then, like, one of his goons tries to pull out a gun, but, like, Goldblum gives him a little, like, shimmy and then, like, an elbow to the head. And I'm like, ooh, using that reach, throwing some of your sharp-angled elbows around. Very good, Goldblum. Doing
some
physical stuff.
He does a great job with it.
I want to see him in more action stuff.
I liked it.
Even at this age.
It looked good.
Give him a late career Liam Neeson old man badass comeback now.
Everybody was upset when he went down with back injury in Jurassic Park. We all thought he could have done more.
But then we got that lounge in with his shirt unbuttoned scene,
cool.
which is pretty
That's
legendary.
Pretty cool.
That's a legendary fucking Goldblum right there.
That is the 90s equivalent to fucking Burt Reynolds on the bearskin rug.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think we've gotten an equivalent since Jurassic Park. That's our last shirtless, hunky, lounging thing.
Yeah.
Fucking society's falling apart.
It's fucking lame, dude.
How's this movie end now? Like, fucking...
All right,
they kill him, they steal all of his fucking money.
I'll fucking shoot through this, man.
White guy's like, hey,
so they shoot
you
him.
Weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, they steal his money, they get the last of fucking Gallegos' dudes, and they're like, hey, we stole his money, go tell fucking, go tell Guzman. Like, we got the money.
Oh, yeah,
you want
they
the money?
Set up a meeting with
we
Guzman.
Got the money.
This is the big fucking... I guess I had just like gotten too lazy at this point and didn't take notes about the big climax. We're going to do it classic action movie style on like an old abandoned shipping pier next to a big rusty boat.
We got the money to make the synthetic drug.
The best place to do it.
You have more money than we do.
Mm-hmm.
You own the drug scene. We're going to make you be our partner.
Goldblum's the fucking Jew in this equation, so he's put together binders and perspectives.
Yeah.
He's got all the numbers.
They get him on the boat. Everybody's there. Like, fucking Taft keeps showing up throughout the movie, just being like, you don't want to do this.
He kind of...
This is heroin. It's highly addictive.
Dresses like Elvin from The Cosby Show.
He does. He
Elvin
really
was
does.
Like a hard-nosed old detective
the
in
vest.
The narcotics division.
Yeah.
This would be him.
And he's just like, you don't want to do this. And like Larry Fishburne's like, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. You
he's
don't.
Like, yes, we
you
are
don't
one
know
the
me.
Same Larry Fishburne.
And so they finally get this big showdown at the end. They're on the boat. They're going to do the big drug deal. They're going to make Guzman have no choice but to back them. And they're going to be rich forever.
But Taft crashes
They've got
the
political
party.
Backing. And Taft's like, I'm a cop. I'm radioing you. Mm-hmm. Make the things happen. And they're like, bro, that's Guzman. Like, we can't bring him down. And he's like, I'm going to make him be brought down. Yeah.
This is one good cop in this movie.
Yeah, that's Taft.
God bless him. So he pulls out, like, he's like, yo, you're under arrest, Fishburne. Fishburne's like got a gun on him. And he's like, you're not going to shoot me. I'm going to pull my backup gun.
Well, he pulls the gun on Guzman first. And Guzman is just like, that's cute.
Yeah.
But like, do you know who I am?
Lethal weapon to
diplomatic immunity.
And just kind of walks off, steals his bullets and walks off. And that's when Larry gets
him. Bullets does this thing take? So yeah, Fishburne's like, fuck, I kind of see this guy as a dad figure. I can't let him arrest me, but I'm not going to shoot him.
He's my conscience. He's my Jiminy Cricket.
This isn't good. But then Goldblum's just like, who's this fucking asshole?
I'll shoot him.
Light him up full
of
bullets.
Out of the way, I'll shoot him.
So he just like tears fucking Taft's body apart with just bullet fire.
And that's when Larry Fishburne's finally like, you know what, Jeff Goldblum? I'm a cop. You gotta go to jail now.
He gets on Taft's radio. He's like, we got a code 3, whatever, officer down.
Goldblum's like, code 3? What the fuck are you saying, bro?
Goldblum's not getting it. He's like, you're saying a bunch of cop shit. This is weird. Like, why are you saying all this cop shit into the radio?
He's like, I'm a cop.
You're my drug dealing friend.
I'm a cop, mother sucker.
A drug dealing friend from the streets. That's crazy. There's no way you're a cop.
Yeah, and Goldblum's like, you know what? You might be a cop, but I've seen your dick get hard over street money.
We got a van full of money here.
Let's get that street money.
You ain't a cop anymore. Just fucking
let's get that street
money with me. Let's get out of here.
And then he pistol whips Larry Fishburne and then shoots Taft in the chest one more time to officially kill him.
He's fucking dead as hell.
And that's when Larry Fishburne's like, I gotta kill you, bro.
He
kills him.
After pushing and pushing and pushing, saying racist shit throughout the whole
movie.
But
Goldblum looks so cool here at the end, though. He's got that leather fucking duster on.
Yeah.
He's got that slick back hair. He's wearing like high-end nurse's scrubs. Ooh. I don't even know what that was he was wearing, but it looked cool and I wanted one.
Yeah, I bet Kanye sells something like that. We'll get you something for your birthday.
He looked so cool. That's how you knew he was the bad guy.
Oh, for sure.
So he kills him and then you're like, oh, the movie's over. But like D.E.H. and Jerry's like, hey, bro, remember when you got in trouble for shit? You tried to get Betty out of the country, but we caught her before she got to the airport.
Yeah.
And
I'm corrupt and my bosses are corrupt and we're all in on it with the guy you were trying to take down.
You're just going
to
tell everybody.
All this was for nothing.
Yeah. Tell everybody how good of a job the
DEA
did.
You're a sucker.
Yeah.
A puppet.
You're just going to tell people you're still on the take. Tell them the DEA did a great job, especially me. And then we'll give you your girl back. And Fishburne's smart enough to be like, you know what? I will, but let's put this down in writing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay. Yeah,
very
this is like,
he's doing everything Stringer Bell style.
Yeah. They're like, this is a real thing. He's like, okay, cool, 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 cool. So he shows up to the hearing and they're like, tell us about how you beat everybody at drug dealing. And he's like, well, you know, it wasn't me. It was the DEA that gave me the clout that I needed to move the way I needed to move. And they're like, okay,
doing
case closed.
Everything I needed to do.
This is like
letter
like,
of our agreement.
Case closed. And he's like, hey, hold up real quick.
I'd like to call
gay guy.
My cousin Vinny, surprise witness.
Yeah, hey, gay guy.
Gopher's
wake
there.
Up.
He's napping. He's an old man.
Because he was there at the boat drug shake.
Turns out he was crouched behind a pallet of something filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now we got Guzman, the
like,
big
like,
corrupt politician on tape.
He was filming like fucking Steven
like
Seagal.
Those Japanese P-cams?
Like to do at the beginning of whatever the fuck that movie was.
I do remember us watching. I think, yeah, maybe that was it. Where he was clearly much more stealthy than...
I got a camera.
Steven Seagal clomping around.
I'm going to film this governor.
Because nobody caught him. Nobody knew he was there the whole time.
I'm working deep ops. I'm going to get this governor.
So we're going to say, little gopher, some of the best police work we've seen in a movie so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As it turns out. Yeah, that's a good point.
A1 cop.
So Fishburne's like, I would like to introduce this tape. And like a couple of the fucking people on the subcommittee are like, burn this shit immediately. This guy made this up on a green screen and he's a scumbag. And he's like,
listen,
no,
all you corrupt judges and assholes.
I gave that shit to TMZ.
Everybody knows that fucking long blonde haired surfer guy from TMZ.
Everybody
got
knows,
a copy.
Wants to know, don't know me.
So then it's like all these guys are going to go down. but also we need to make it the Wayne's World mega happy ending. That's not enough. Fishburne gets to punch his nerdy boss in the stomach for saying the N-word all those times.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, wait, also your crackhead neighbor died, so now you get to raise her kid who you like with your cokehead girlfriend who is a money laundering criminal.
She went clean.
I guess. She doesn't
cold
give
turkey.
Us, yeah, she doesn't give us a vanity cold turkey, but I think we're just like, okay, I guess.
It's implied.
I guess they're all going to be clean and become a nice family now. Right. Good things happen to good people, and that's Deep Cover.
The end question mark.
And it turns out it wasn't, because Deep Cover 2 is what we're covering next week.
Goddamn right.
That's not true, but we will do some coming attractions here like we always do.
For take March Fool's Day.
And then Deep Cover enters Judgment Day.
In the year 2004, time travel is a reality.
You're charged with violations of TEC Code 40.8, time travel with intent to alter the future.
And a crime.
It turns out going back in time is a pretty easy way to make money.
I think you got yourself a shipment of gold, and you're taking a General Lee.
The genie is already out of the bottle. The technology is there.
Now, one man.
You ever hear the name Aaron McComb?
Is about to take the ultimate power trip.
He's gonna be president.
You don't need the press, you don't need endorsements, you don't even need the truth. You need money.
But to enforce the laws of time.
Are we still together in 10 years? Am I dead?
One man is determined to stop him.
I cannot go back to save her.
This scumbag is not going back to steal money.
Stay here, Walker. My future, you're dead.
I think you planned too far ahead.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Ron Silver.
Will you get up?
Mia Sara.
Time Cop. Rated R. Starts Friday at theaters everywhere.
I went and saw a movie this weekend. I have a film review.
Oh, okay. Let's hit me with it.
I saw the hit movie... Impractical Jokers.
Impractical Jokers is a television series.
They got a movie.
Like the Jackass Boys? They did. Impractical Jokers, the movie?
And I saw it the Thursday, the night before it came out. I got that preview.
This was released in theaters.
Correct.
This is not a true TV original.
No, it's a true TV original movie.
Didn't go straight to Crackle.
Nope.
Where did you see this at?
Cinemark in Valparaiso.
God, you had an answer for me right away. I thought I was going to catch you in a lie.
No, it's all over theaters right now, man.
I don't know.
It couldn't take down Sonic the Hedgehog, though. It couldn't.
No, that's still number one at the box office.
Still number one.
It paid off reanimating all that weird lifelike teeth he had out of that thing, I guess.
He had a cartoon show where he was voiced by Urkel, and he would call people slow-mos.
Jaleel White himself? That's got to be offensive. I don't think you can say
that.
That sounds either like...
I don't think that works now.
...against people with mental problems or against Jews or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, Practical Jokers.
Review.
It was okay. The TV show's better.
The long episode of the TV show? Or did they get some budget behind that? Were they pulling bigger pranks?
They had a budget. They had bigger pranks. But it was just a not as good... episode.
Yeah, too bad you don't work at the jail anymore. I bet you could get us a burned copy of that. We could watch it at the bar.
I could still get it.
Oh, hell yeah. I still love got my your ways. Sleazy connections.
Still got my ways.
All right, Matt, let's get into Judgment Day here.
You got to.
Where we go out on the internet and we look at what you, the people, think about this movie.
These shithead people that we know that they're called the internet.
And then we decide what we think and we cast a judgment on the film.
I don't like any of these people.
I got a one bullet review here.
This guy's an idiot.
From IMDb user Billy Crash.
Let's hear what Billy Dipnuts has to say.
You gotta admit, you think Billy Crash is a cool name.
I respect Billy Dragon, and I hate Billy Dragon's guts.
Wow. Okay, Billy Crash says...
Billy Crash is a dork.
What a horrifically bad film.
Nice pants, idiot.
Deep Cover is a weak, over-the-top story with too much angst and testosterone and not nearly enough reality.
Sorry you never caught a blowjob in high school.
The dialogue is so astronomically bad that it is outright laughable. In fact... Fishburne's character uses enough bad rhymes to make Nipsey Russell do cartwheels in his grave. I have absolutely no idea what writer, director Tolkien was thinking. Which, I don't know, Tolkien might have wrote it, but fucking
J.J. Tolkien.
Duke directed this thing, so.
J.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, wrote this.
Still, the soundtrack seems to be hijacked by some bad 80s film, along with some of the wardrobe. It was just a shame to see Fishburne, Goldblum, and Julia a part of this embarrassing debacle.
It's called film noir. Go fuck yourself.
So 1992 was still the 80s, man.
Yeah.
Decades bleeding to each other.
Yeah.
Avoid at all costs. If you want something gritty with the noir feel, indulge in some of the classics. Double Indemnity, Sunset Strip, or even modern gems like Chinatown, Mean Streets, King of New York, and Romeo is Bleeding. One bullet from IMDb user, Billy Crash.
Billy Crash, go fuck yourself.
I picked that one because I knew that last listing of film noirs would make you really mad. This next one bullet review is from Amazon user Rodrigo Gonzalez.
I'm going to give you a chance. Did you say it's one bullet?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, where should I start? This CD is worse than the movie. All the songs are weak. If you getting this CD because you like deep cover song, don't get this CD. There are plenty more out there that are better and sound better. Also, I listened to this CD 4 times, and I haven't found the extra track that people are saying in on the CD. I couldn't find it, so don't get this CD. Otherwise, you are, quote-unquote, getting deep, if you know what I mean. One bullet from Amazon user Rodrigo Gonzalez.
He was looking for that hidden track that was like, I went to your room, I was all by myself.
Is that Dre and Snoop?
All myself. No, it's fucking Green Day, bro.
I know what it is.
You know what it is. It's Dookie's.
You totally glossed over the fact that Dre and Snoop do the song Deep Cover. Title track plays over the end credits of this song, though. That's a feather in its cap. Hell yeah.
I turned the movie off too soon.
This is 92, too. This is before, like, the fucking Chronic hit and everybody knew who Snoop was.
This reminds me of the hit film Angus.
That's also got a great soundtrack.
And the song
Dre and Snoop do the song Angus over the end credits of that.
Deep Water by Pansy Division.
Matt, our first 5 bullet is from IMDb user Veleka.
Vega.
Like The Crossing Guard, this film, Deep Cover, kept me on the edge of my seat. The scenes between Larry Fishburne and Charles Martin Smith are superb. The writing is virtually flawless, the action is exciting and fresh, and the topic is so relevant it's hard to believe it came out 15 years ago. It could be released today, it's that topical. I love political action thrillers such as the original The Manchurian Candidate,
sure.
But that film, as exciting as it was, left me cold.
Oh no.
This film has so much heart and love in it, on top of all the thrills,
that I
found myself astonished by the virtuosity of the artist that composed this gem.
Oh, get over yourself.
I'm already a huge fan of the actors.
Totally.
I will now be searching IMDb for the subsequent work of the writers, directors, and producers of this masterpiece.
I need to see fucking Sister Act 2.
Bravo, Deep Cover. I'm telling all my friends about you. 5 bullets from IMDb user Veleka.
You said something I wanted to make a joke about, and it's gone.
It's gone now already?
Gone. I'm so angry.
There's too much whiskey. We're going to get to the end of this podcast. 5 bullets from Amazon user Terry House is how we're going to wrap it all up.
Oh, I like this
Terry
name.
House. Give us a 5 bullet review.
I already respect it.
The rich stay rich and the poor stay poor, mm-hmm. And die in the violence. It go to jail. Here is a headline for you. Make drugs legal. Another great movie that shows the flows in this system and how it works. But today it's even worse. The government and law enforcement agencies letting drugs into the country and sites and the big money is already made before the drugs hit the streets. But to make the good citizens feel safe, the same people have made laws to put the low-level drug dealers in jail.
That's true.
And make sure in the real world they get a lot of time behind bars if the drugs are sold near a school, church, or playground or park.
Well, that's fair.
And as soon as these people go to jail, you have more taking their place. When the big money have already been made. Great movie where a dedicated police officer became a drug dealer and pretending to be a police. and upper management would do anything to move up no matter who go down. Like I said, a it great movie. But the drug game couldn't get a rating in Hollywood. The 6 o'clock news and the front page of any newspaper let the good citizens feel secure. And it's all is just a lie.
Get it from the start there. It go to jail.
5 bullets from Amazon user Terry House.
I agree with Terry House.
It be that way, man.
I've been in the system with Terry. And
true that, Terry House.
He and I, we've seen a lot of things together. And like I feel that. And I'm like, man, they're just trying to keep us all down. Like, nobody respect nobody no more.
Let's put our politics aside and get into our final thoughts. My thing.
I'm already in mine. I'm already in mine.
Freestyling it here.
And he and I were just both just like, man, you don't understand. You don't understand. But I get it. But I see you and you don't understand me. And I got this. And this is the real life stuff, though, that you learn when you're out there on the streets and people don't get it. And you got to know that. And it's very important.
Bill Duke gets it.
And life isn't always as important as people think it should be.
Goldblum gets
it. But it should be more important than that. And you get fucking Brundlefly and he's in there and he's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing a great job here, man. Like, you know what this is?
What is it?
3.5 all day.
3.5 bullet.
3.5 all day.
That's a good damn score for deep cover. I think this movie is kind of a weird mess, but I think it's an interesting mess that takes a lot of big swings.
Get in there.
I'd rather see a movie taking big swings and
dive
like
in,
being a little weird and messy than just like playing it safe and being boring.
You're feeling it.
Fishburne's great.
Sure.
He's fucking just like,
he's pretty badass.
He's
in
like,
this.
Listen, man, I'm cool as hell. Like, bitches want to fuck me.
Fuck Morpheus.
I don't
like,
have
he's
my
cool
fat head
this.
Yet. I'm still young and attractive. Goldblum is kind of bad, but like in a way that's really enjoyable.
He's fucking Goldblum,
But he's not doing his usual Goldblum
he's
thing.
Not.
He's like
that's fair.
Doing
that's
a different fair. Thing that's equally as out there.
He's
and
still
I am
a beautiful
digging it.
Specimen.
I'm digging it. He's a beautiful man. I went 3 bullets in the middle. Solid film, deep cover.
I'm not going to fault you for that.
It's not
I think
my
that's
favorite
fair.
Bill Duke movie. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit
yeah,
is.
I know
but
you're
it's my
idiot.
Second favorite Bill Duke movie for sure.
3 solid. I'm going to give you that.
Yeah, totally solid. Right there in the same area.
You want to do this next week?
Okay, no, that's the thing. We can't do this next week.
Why not?
We're going to take a bye week. I'm going to be out of town.
They got DVD
business.
Players in New Orleans, bro?
No DVD players down in New Orleans.
Oh, you
We're going to take a little
piece
break.
Piece of shit.
It's okay. The listeners, they need a rest here.
We've only taken like 2
So much baby
breaks.
Oil and blow, like just injected into your veins at all times. It's too much for you.
Like seriously, we've taken like 2, maybe 3
It's been
breaks.
A while. It's been a while since we've taken a break.
It's
we've
been a real
it.
Long time.
I want you to just kick back. Fucking.
I got too much stuff. I gotta hang out with Macaulay Culkin this weekend,
oh,
man.
You guys got plans?
Yeah, we got a suite at AEW's Revolution. Resolution.
Okay, well, tell Macaulay
I don't
said,
know what
hey,
it's called.
I'll tell the ghost of Dr. John that you say hey.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We're gonna meet back in 2 weeks. We're coming up on daylight savings time. The shit is ending or beginning.
March?
I don't know. It's coming up.
Are we doing the fucking Catherine Bigelow vampire movie?
We got time travel movies coming up.
Oh.
Get
oh,
ready
right.
for it. Daylight savings time, jumping ahead, falling back. We're time traveling next month, 2 weeks with JCBD and Time Cop, dude. You got 2 weeks to watch Time Cop. You could do it.
After that, Back to the Future 4 on Baby Oil and Blue.
Stay single or don't. It's the future. Who knows?
Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Could use a friend.